Imagine being shoved aside by the rudest child in the world on your first day at a new school. This is precisely what happens to Violet, Klaus, and Sonny Baudelaire when they encounter Carmelita Spatz at Proof Rock Preparatory School. The Baudelaire orphans have already endured unimaginable tragedy. Their parents perished in a terrible fire, and they've been pursued relentlessly by the villainous Count Olaf, who will stop at nothing to steal their fortune. Standing on the mossy brick sidewalks of their new school, the shy Baudelaires hope for a respite from their misfortunes. The school's stone arch bears the motto, "Memento Mori," remember you will die, a grim welcome that perfectly captures the atmosphere of their new educational home. Their optimism quickly evaporates upon meeting Vice Principal Nero, a bald man with ridiculous pigtails who mocks their concerns about Count Olaf and outlines the school's harsh rules. Without parental permission slips, they cannot live in the comfortable dormitory. Instead, they must stay in a tin shack with hay bales for beds, the aptly named Orphan's Shack. Have you ever had a bad living situation? The Baudelaire orphans would trade places with you in a heartbeat. The orphan's shack was beyond awful, tiny and furnished only with hay bales for beds that poked through their clothes, while entire colonies of aggressive crabs snapped their claws at anyone who disturbed them. Light tan fungus grew across the ceiling, constantly dripping moisture that the siblings had to dodge like some perverse game of musical chairs. The fungus gave off a peculiar musty odor, reminiscent of forgotten cheese. Most offensively, the tin walls were painted bright green with tacky pink hearts, a decorative choice that somehow made their miserable accommodation even more depressing. Could this school possibly be worse than facing Count Olaf? The Baudelaires are about to find out that sometimes education can be the cruelest lesson of all. Despite their wretched conditions, the Baudelaires maintained hope. Violet, 14, promised to invent something to repel crabs. Klaus, 12, planned to research the fungus, while tiny Sunny offered to scrape paint with her sharp teeth. In the cafeteria, Carmelita Spatz began taunting them as cake-sniffing orphans in the orphan shack, a chant that quickly spread throughout the room. Salvation arrived when Duncan Quagmire invited them to sit with him and his sister Isadora. These fellow orphans understood their pain, having also lost their parents in a fire and lived in the orphan shack. Duncan carried a green notebook for journalism notes, while Isadora wrote poetry, specializing in couplets. The Baudelaires discovered the Quagmires weren't twins but triplets. Their brother Quigley had died in the same fire as their parents. After lunch, the Quagmires led them to the library, a pleasant sanctuary with brass fish lamps and blue curtains, giving the Baudelaires their first glimmer of hope at Proof Rock. The Baudelaires' experience at Proof Rock Prep was a triptych of misery, featuring bizarre teachers and impossible tasks. Mr. Remora, Violet's teacher, had a banana obsession. While eating, constantly dropping peels and smearing pulp in his mustache, he told pointlessly short stories students had to memorize verbatim. One day I went to the store to purchase milk. When I got home, I poured the milk into a glass and drank it. Then I watched television. The end. Klaus endured Mrs. Bass, whose metric system fixation meant students spent hours measuring random objects and recording lengths in millimeters. Tedium that nearly drove the normally studious Klaus to madness. Baby Sunny, as administrative assistant to Vice Principal Nero, faced impossible tasks for an infant. Answering phones, taking dictation, and making staples by hand, with a full box due daily. These absurd demands epitomized Proof Rock's flawed approach, prioritizing rote memorization and mindless tasks over curiosity and critical thinking. When Violet politely greeted Coach Genghis, clearly Count Olaf in a turban hiding his unibrow and shoes concealing his ankle tattoo, Klaus and Sunny reluctantly followed suit. Olaf examined the children as if they were an all-you-can-eat salad bar, declaring the Baudelaires perfect while dismissing the Quagmires as mere twins. Violet later explained her strategy: gather evidence before approaching Nero privately rather than risk Olaf's immediate escape. On the darkening lawn, they discovered Olaf's scheme: special orphan running exercises, S-O-R-E. He forced them to paint a luminous circle and run laps around it nightly. For 9 consecutive nights, they ran endlessly, the circle symbolizing both their zero knowledge of his plan and their depleted energy. Their schoolwork deteriorated completely. Eventually, Vice Principal Nero summoned them, demanding payment for missed violin recitals and announcing comprehensive exams. If they failed, they would be expelled and handed to Coach Genghis for homeschooling, revealing Olaf's true plan all along. The 5 orphans gathered in the improved orphan shack to address their dilemma, passing exams after another exhausting night of laps. The Quagmires volunteered to disguise themselves as the Baudelaires for the evening's SORE session. Duncan wearing Klaus's glasses, Isadora taking Violet's ribbon, and a flower bag standing in for Sunny. The Baudelaires quickly realized how risky this plan was. The Quagmires looked nothing like them, different eye colors, different hair, and identical heights, unlike the Baudelaires' varying ones. With the Quagmires gone, the Baudelaires executed their half of the plan. Violet crafted staples using a fork, creamed spinach, a potato, and one of the shack's crabs. Sunny cornered the crab while Violet manipulated it to cut metal rods into staples. Klaus focused on mastering the exam material. When Vice Principal Nero arrived with the teachers, the children answered every question correctly, and Sunny's homemade staples worked perfectly. Their relief vanished when Coach Genghis appeared, holding Violet's ribbon and Klaus's glasses, with flower dust on his shoes. The Baudelaires realized with horror that their friends weren't safe after all. The Baudelaires collapsed onto the brown lawn, weeping with frustration as Mr. Poe and Nero argued uselessly. By the time the adults decided what to do, Count Olaf would be gone with the Quagmires, whose kindness and sacrifice overwhelmed them. As their tears subsided, determination took hold. Violet asked Klaus what Duncan had shouted from the car. "VFD," Klaus replied, "but I don't know what it means." "Seju," Sunny said, meaning, "we have to find out." They resolved to discover the secret of VFD and what the Quagmires had uncovered, knowledge that might help rescue the triplets, bring Olaf to justice, and explain their unfortunate circumstances. Looking up at the school arch with its motto, "Memento Mori," remember you will die, the Baudelaires vowed to solve this dark mystery. These 3 enigmatic letters mark a turning point, hinting at a larger conspiracy. The austere academy ends not with resolution, but with new questions. The Baudelaires have lost friends, but gained purpose beyond mere survival: to find the Quagmires, uncover the truth about VFD, and understand their unfortunate lives. Looking up at the school arch with its motto, "Memento Mori," remember you will die, the Baudelaires vowed to solve this dark mystery. These 3 enigmatic letters mark a turning point, hinting at a larger conspiracy. The austere academy ends not with resolution, but with new questions. The Baudelaires have lost friends, but gained purpose, beyond mere survival: to find the Quagmires, uncover the truth about VFD, and understand their unfortunate lives.